Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comic Book Club. Now, please put your hands together for Justin and Pete.
Yeah. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, All-Star Booth Man, crushing it. Guys, big week for both Pete and I. Pete, what did you do this week that was notable? Catch us up. I feel like we need to get that personal connection going with our audience, both here in person and through the audio world.
I feel like you bought a house.
That's true. That's true. I'm growing up very fast.
You're growing up so fast.
Yeah, but that's not like adult cool shit. I almost cut my finger off. I was holding a mirror and it shattered in my hand, almost like some sort of superpower, and it sliced through my finger and almost severed it.
Whoa. Congrats.
Yeah. Whoa. Exactly. Congrats. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you didn't completely cut it off.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd still be here.
It'd be amazing.
I'd attach the mic right to my stubby little finger.
Yeah, you would have mic fingers.
What about you, Pete?
We did the Brooklyn Brain Jam.
Yes, that was a show. That will be posted to the feed as well if you haven't already listened to it.
Yeah,
this was a group of Brooklyn. Like, we speak to a lot of geeks.
We do.
We are geeks.
Right.
We speak directly.
This was a group of super nerds.
Like, the type of geekery that I hadn't ever...
I don't want to say ever, but, like, they were doing Spelling Bee for, like, fictional, like some of the words I couldn't even...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like from Star Trek that was, like, a name of a planet that you've never heard of.
Yeah, like, they would show a picture of a type of ship from Star Trek, like the Next Generation, and they right. had to name the name and then spell the alien species.
Name, yeah, they had to name it, and then they would give the name of the alien species and had to spell it. And I was
it was Cardassian.
Yeah,
C-A-R-O.
But you did get Thor's hammer. You nailed that. I mean,
Mjolnir.
Yeah, you spelled that correctly, which I was like, I can't even pronounce.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't even attempt it.
No, I didn't. But yeah, and then also last night I had a little bit too much sauce, and then I got up and did the Moth in New York City.
Oh, interesting. The Moth, a storytelling show, storytelling podcast. You're cheating on this podcast with another snobby podcast. And you went there. You act like you drunkenly stumbled into a storytelling show when I don't think that's actually what happened.
Well, I
think you went there
out.
To open up your heart. All you've been doing is opening your heart lately. You made me cry at your one-man show. Another member of our audience was there, also wet in the eyes.
Sorry, bro. And
here you are. So don't apologize. Last week at our show here, Pete had a fan who came. He was like, I saw Pete's one-man show. I don't know anything about comic books. This show is weird, but I love Pete. And that's like, who could ask for anything more than that?
Toyota?
Was that a Toyota? That was a Toyota plug. We're sponsored by Toyota. Toyota has provided us with two great guests here tonight. Let's welcome them out. They're both writers. Please welcome to the stage Neil Clyde and Brett White.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Hello.
Welcome. Have a seat.
Thank you guys for being here. Grab a mic of your choice.
Yeah,
hopefully
there
the one corresponding to your seat.
Around the back.
Thank you guys for coming out here tonight.
Thanks for having us.
So, Neil, we'll start with you. You have been doing some writing for a little thing called Powers.
I have.
Tell us about that. The secret history of Dina Pilgrim.
Yeah, so I co-wrote a prose novel, actually the first Powers prose novel.
That's professional?
Pardon?
Like a pro, like you're a pro, you're writing prose.
I am a pro writing prose.
Like Pros versus Joes.
Pros, which was the subtitle. It was The Secret History of Dina Pilgrim, Pros versus
Pros Joes. Versus Joes. So you mean without pictures?
Yes, there's no pictures except for the front. There's a picture on the front for you.
That's good. Yeah, exactly. That lured me right in.
Exactly. But it's the first prose novel set in the Powers universe. And I co-wrote it with the creator, Brian Michael Bendis.
Nice.
And it's coming out on March 15th from Macmillan Books.
That's great. And so...
How was it to work with Bendis?
Bendis was great. Very collaborative.
He was at your house for, like, too long?
Yeah. I finally cleaned the sheets. It took a while, yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, we kind of tossed the plot around a little bit and like a ball. and came up with a great story that he had been thinking about for a while, and I kind of helped expand it and kind of work on it a little bit. And then I kind of wrote it, sent a draft over. He would make changes back and forth. So it was great.
So with the characters in the Powers universe, which thing did you sort of leave your mark on the most?
The title is The Secret History of Dina Pilgrim, and you really kind of, for the first time, really kind of see some of her past, which you're starting to see a little bit, but this is like really delved in. Really went into her family and like her parents a little bit. And I got to really get inside Dina's head, which was really nice.
That's cool.
To kind of understand the character and flesh her out a little bit.
Now, did you watch, in your writing process, did you start this before the show came out, or were you watching
the So the show had already come out, and I had kind of started it right as the first season was ending.
Did you watch it?
I watched it as I was writing it.
Interesting. Yeah.
The book is not actually set in the world of the TV show.
Well, I mean
it's
more
set in the world of the comic. It's set in the comics continuity. I want to say.
I mean more like where you didn't when you imagine the characters. Is it the characters from the comic book or the TV show?
The comic book.
Oh, really?
Definitely
okay.
The comic book. Yeah.
Nice.
Not that I don't love the TV show.
No, that's
I
not what we're
the
saying.
TV show, Brian.
But I do think
great
I know
show.
He's here in the crowd tonight.
Well, he's everywhere.
Yeah, he's sort of everywhere, like a
looming
sort of
over my shoulder.
Holy ghost, yes. Awesome, and so this comes out on March 15th. And we have this is the UK copy.
Yeah, there's a UK soft cover edition that I actually got a couple in the mail, but the hardcover edition comes out on the 15th.
Why does it come out first?
I don't know. I wish I had that answer. They're more efficient.
They're more efficient? I don't think so. How dare you?
USA!
Yeah, great.
All right.
So pick up this book.
USA
by,
is harder, though.
A staunch Whig, Mr. Neil Clyde. Brett, let's talk to you.
Hello.
So you are a writer for CBR.
Comic Book Resources.
Yeah. You're very resourceful. and you are someone who has opinions on the internet,
yeah.
I think.
Sometimes I get paid to have professional opinions. Amateur opinions professionally.
that is what is on your t-shirt and business card.
Yeah. Here's my business card. Here's my jumbo jet flying above with the banner.
And writing for CBR, I feel like gets you involved in a lot of, I don't want to say feuds, but conversations?
Conversations that come at me on Twitter sometimes. It's happened a couple times. It's happened... I discovered don't criticize Deadpool.
Yes.
And then have that thing get posted to Reddit.
Oh,
because
dangerous.
The Venn diagram overlap of like Deadpool fans and avid Reddit users is they're a testy lot.
Yeah, what a great realization to have.
Yeah, so just
what bad thing could you say about it?
Well, careful,
I said
you have one of those things
said
here.
No, I'll preface it now by saying that I saw the movie and I liked the movie a whole lot. I'm on the record. I wrote a whole thing about how I thought it was really good. I thought the very first...
his own opinions.
Yeah, no, and I can totally recognize people saying it's great. Right. 100%. Nuanced opinions. But I said that the first, not even the first trailer, but the footage they showed at Comic-Con, which was only like leaked onto the internet. So even this is, my argument is now like three times irrelevant. Like it's three times removed from relevancy. But at the time, every single joke was a like dick sucking joke to get blue for a second. And I was like, it's kind of homophobic. Like, you know, every single joke is about, like, dick in your mouth, cocksucker. Like, let's get, like,
I like
bleepy
that you're comfortable saying dick in your mouth and cocksucker gives you a little bit of pause.
So I'm like, and everyone's like, well, Deadpool's an equal opportunity offender. I'm like, he is. So I would like to see him offend other people. But then the first trailer came out, and the first trailer had offensive things about multiple people. So I was like, okay. But my main complaint with that San Diego footage was that it wasn't funny. It's like homophobic second, but like primarily it was like not good jokes.
Yeah.
Like calling Colossus a cock gobbler, whatever they said. It's like, that's not original. Like, you know, studying comedy, you want to go something specific for the character.
I mean, that's the problem with the leaked footage or a little bit of a trailer. And then, you know, you're just seeing such a small window that you don't know what other crappy insults there are, or whatever it is.
Yeah, when are we going to get to see movies in their entirety?
Yeah, exactly.
Before they come out.
Yeah, like, right? I want to see it full. When I hear about it, I want to see it instant.
I do think that, like, 20 minutes of Batman versus Superman is already out on the internet just through all the trailers.
That movie's been overexposed.
Yeah, a little,
don't we have a little fatigue? Aren't we just...
I write about 3 articles about it every single day. So
about the fatigue portion or the...
No, just like, here's another trailer, here's another poster, here's another Turkish Airlines like thing. Of like, here's like a spread of food you can only order that's Batman related.
Yeah.
There's a Batman versus Superman ice cream. Like, it's everywhere.
What is your favorite thing that you got to write for CBR?
I am now not of the persuasion that Marvel has a conspiracy theory to wipe out the X-Men. I'm not on that tip anymore. But I did write a bunch of things going through and analyzing the numbers of how many X-Men comics Marvel published every single month since the dawn of the X-Men.
Right.
So, like, the height was, you know, in, like, the mid-90s, and actually also, like, 2004, there was, like, 17 X-Men comics a month. That's including solo series, team books, and all that. And I, like, crunched all those numbers, and it's like, now we're down to 6, and we're, like, the lowest. But I think that you... So I really enjoyed going back through and like looking at all those numbers because I like having crazy theories and then seeing if...
Yeah, that's legit investigative journalism.
But I also kind of now view it as maybe the X-Men line has gone from being insane to being a normal amount.
Normal?
Like a normal, tolerable amount.
I will say, conspiracy theory-wise, like there are more Inhumans books than ever before.
Oh, 100%.
And two.
Uncanny Inhumans, all new Inhumans...
And Karnak.
Oh, Karnak has a book. Yeah. That gets 100%.
Couldn't technically S.H.I.E.L.D., the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic also has a lot of...
That's
true. They retconned Quake into being an Inhuman. I learned because I had to write an article and was like, did they? Yeah, they did. Okay.
But that's a slow ramp up to 17, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to get there.
Now, let me just ask, when you're been there for a little while, do you get... You sit around and be like, okay, who's going to take this? And you guys kind of like raise your hand? Or is it more like you get assignments like, okay, you got to write this? Or do you get to be like, I want to write an article about this?
Or is it a separate room like the movie Spotlight?
I'm the Mark Ruffalo.
Now that's something you can get out there. The Mark Ruffalo of comic book journalism.
I would say it's actually all three. Like, I mean, we have a staff that it has like actual hours. So in the morning there are 3 of us. One person handles the spinoff.com, which is movie and TV news, and then me and another person handle everything else that comes along in the morning for the first like 3 hours. And so I've noticed, I've been there for a year and a half now full time, and I've noticed that there's this weird like seasonal thing with comics, with like comics news of like week before Christmas, literally nothing. It's like the slowest days. But then a couple weeks ago, it was like every single day I was writing like 6 stories in a 2-hour period. And it was
holy
like,
shit.
Were they all about Batman, Superman?
Half of them.
Yeah, so like,
fantastic.
Yeah. God. So yeah, and then with other things, it's like I have this crazy idea I want to try and test out. Can I do this? Then so it's usually yes. Like CBR is very open to crazy ideas. I think fans of Mr. Alex's album will notice that he's written some hilariously weird things for CBR in the past like week or two.
Yeah.
His what was the multiple Zoom theory thing that was like
he's real. A lot of his articles, I'm like, you're just trolling people.
Yeah.
Like, what's your? Like yellow journalism or something. He's a muckraker.
He's going after the clickbait.
Yeah.
We need it. Need them clicks.
You got to get those
hunting
clicks.
For them clicks. Hungry for them clicks.
We're all hungry for clicks, but you know what else we're hungry for? The stack. Yeah. Let's move on to the stack, ladies and gentlemen. In the stack, we pick 3 comic books and we go to bat for them.
That's true.
We review them. We just chat about them. Pete, let's talk about your pick, Spider-Man number 2.
That's not my pick. Black Widow number 1 was my pick.
Oh, interesting. Okay, let's talk about my pick, Black Widow number 1. This comic is great.
Amazing.
Very good. What did you think?
Well, first off, this team is magic together. I feel like Chris Samnee's art is just so... fantastic with Black Widow. And I really like how this comic specifically is so action-driven. There's not a lot of dialogue, but so much happens.
I don't think that Black Widow says anything until, like, the very last page.
Yeah.
I think that's actually one of the strengths of it, is that Wade has this good sense to kind of get out of Samney's way.
Yeah.
Well, they've made it very, very clear that, like, he's, like, Chris Omni's the co-writer. Like, they were, like, co-storytellers on Daredevil, but, like, since Omni came on after the start of that arc, they didn't really feel... I've read a lot of interviews with these guys at work.
Yeah.
So, but like they've said that now they are kind of out of the gate. Like, we are co-storytellers. Like, Somni's actually plotting a lot of it, and like Somni's doing dialogue.
It definitely shows.
Yeah, and it's so tight.
It really is. And
like, for a first issue, the stakes are so high and it's so intense. It's like, holy shit, what is Black Widow doing? And then with that kind of like spoiler at the end where she's like, I hope it's worth it. It's like, holy shit, you don't even know?
It's coffee run. She's going on a coffee run.
Yeah, exactly. She's just
the most extreme coffee run.
Very great beans. Like, we're talking the ones that where they put the beans in and the coffee comes out.
What? What is that?
It's this machine. Have you ever seen this where they put the coffee grounds in and then it pushes it up and then the grounds come out the top of the machine and your coffee comes out the bottom?
That's worth destroying a helicarrier over.
It's upside down coffee. It tastes very similar to regular coffee.
I drink tea.
Oh, my God. What are you even? What's wrong with you?
I mean, what kind of tea?
What fuels you?
Good tea.
Good tea?
Good tea.
You go to.
About kind? You're just going to say good?
I actually don't drink tea.
Holy shit, what is this? This guy's playing games with us.
I don't drink coffee, so.
You don't drink coffee?
That's something the key thing. I don't.
That you don't drink coffee. Coffee.
I do drink the bottled frappuccinos from Starbucks.
Wow.
So
this is like a double, this couch is shaming you. You're saying embarrassing things by accident.
What? They're great.
That, huh?
Get them in the four packs. They're good.
The four packs?
Four packs of frappuccino.
Do you drink one a day or like more?
One a day.
You know what's actually pretty good? Snapple.
Snapple.
What is happening? We were talking about comic books.
We were doing adult. We were doing adult things like talking about comic books, and now you're talking about Snapple caps.
Yeah. The Snapple facts are amazing.
You're going to bat for Snapple facts?
Snapple facts can blow your mind, man. Like, when I read that the average human eats 8 spiders in their lifetime...
That's a lie?
I was like, fuck.
I think most Snapple facts are a lie. I mean, like, let's blow this wide open.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I think so.
Lie.
I think a lot of them are
Snapple
lies.
Snapple facts.
Yeah, I know.
But facts is trademarked.
I trust a bottle of fake juice with the information.
We don't fake juice. That's real juice.
It's like the Wikipedia of drinks. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, you pour out the juice and just look at the facts.
Can we talk about comic books again?
Huh? Yes.
Black Widow's great. Everyone should buy Black Widow.
Yeah. Okay, so I think the lesson here is great comic. You swallow 8 Black Widows over the course of your lifetime. Let's move on and talk about our next comic, Spider-Man number 2.
Speaking of Spider-Man. I was going to say, speaking of Bendis.
Written by Brian Michael Bendis. When's he going to
add Lesser Road, Powers of the Secret History of Dina Pilgrim? What?
When's he going to add you to this comic?
Never. I think the answer is never. But
he's going to be like, hey,
it's a lovely.
You guys collaborated really well.
On that, not on this.
Okay.
Nice.
It's a lovely comic.
You should just show up at his house and be like, hey, man, we're collaborators.
We're a team.
Put the mic closer so people can
Where can I put the suitcase?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Doesn't he have, he has like so many kids.
I could be adopted.
Just show up dressed as a kid. He has so many, won't even notice.
anyways, this comic here.
Right.
I mean, this is a fantastic. It's the only Spider-Man comic out right now worth reading.
Wow.
I mean, you got, first off, I love this idea of like, okay, hey, you can be Spider-Man. Now it's like, hey, I want to be Spider-Man again. But you said I could be Spider-Man. It was such a hilarious kind of like two kids on a basketball court, like, I'm going to take my ball and go home, but it's talking about being one of the greatest superheroes, Spider-Man. So it's like, hey, I'm Spider-Man. No, dude.
Also,
I was Spider-Man first.
Bring back Blackheart?
Yeah.
That takes me back to my mid-90s trading cards. Like,
exactly.
This weird character.
I think
character.
That's where Blackheart has been almost only featured, is in the Marvel
series. Is Slapstick next? Or no, Slapstick's in Deadpool
right now.
Right.
Deadpool.
Like, so,
yeah.
Jeez.
Wait, and I'll tell you what, Slapstick was a revelation when
I'm trying
I was
to think of, man. Is Death's Head 2 going to be?
Oh, dude, Death's Head.
Anytime a character has a sequel in its name, you're like, oh, you must be a little shitty. Right? but that was. These are great trading cards we're talking about.
Yeah, Silhouette.
Sleepwalker.
Kylun.
Sleepwalker.
Sleepwalker.
Great.
Sleepwalker. I mean,
it is. not to get off topic.
Once we
again,
are.
But hold on a second. Because these trading cards, I just remember having them, and I would get them out and look at them and be like, yeah. And then look at the powers, like, wow, he's 7 in endurance. Cool. Put away. That's insane to me. I would do that. The amount of time we have as adults, it's like always busy. And back then I was like, card number 7. Cool. I was like, what was
it? I actually found a box of them like a month ago. And the best part about it is that there were some killer artists on those cards.
Oh, yeah. Sylvester, like,
Jim
Lee.
Sam Keith did a card. Yeah.
Do you remember Marvel
Kirk Jarvanen?
Marvel Masterworks with Joe Jusko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were like, I was like, art. This is paint. This is what paintings are. Yeah. He painted these like in a museum.
It blew my mind.
Blew my mind.
And then the Hildebrands did the third series of Marvel Masterpieces. I have all of mine. I bought Container Store binders so that they can be in the living room.
Nice.
So if you're at my apartment and see some nice like binders, there's X-Men cards in those.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not like framed on the wall.
Well, I should do that in my office.
The light will touch them.
And when I worked at Wizard Magazine, they had, I think, the Joe Jusko series. They had like one of those like giant uncut sheets of all the cards, like framed in one of the walls that like Garib stole from someone. I don't know if he stole it. That was just me being silly. I don't want to get sued.
Now, let me ask you this. Is Joe Jusko exclusively a comic book trading card painter? Where did they find this dude?
He was probably like a fantasy like Dungeons and Dragons painter. I'm pulling that out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's a made up fact. Because I know his name. Like, I don't know most painters' names. And I know Joe Jusko.
So the best part about Jusko is that apparently he's like an ex-cop. And he's got some of the craziest ex-cop stories. If you ever kind of corner him at a convention, ask him about his time.
Corner
like
Joe Jusko's at a convention?
Yeah. Can you sign this Forge Marvel Masterpieces? And also, what's the hardest perp to take down?
Yeah, exactly. great. Spider-Man 2. So anyway, let's get back to it. So to recap the issue, we have Miles Morales, who is now our Spider-Man right. in the 616 universe. The Avengers just got wrecked by Blackheart. He shows up and just kills him, basically, with one touch of his hand, and does it again in this issue. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, shows up, is like, I'm Spider-Man. They have a sort of a bitchy fight.
Yeah.
And then we get to they sort of confront the issue of Miles Morales being not white in this in a way that I thought was sort of surprising, but great.
Powerful. Yeah, it was really cool because he's like, why do they say I'm Black Spider-Man? Why aren't I just Spider-Man? Which is a great...
That is exactly what people in the real world say.
I know, it was a little...
Anytime you write about
Spider-Man.
It was
Spider-Man. Very meta, yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought it worked in the way they did it in the comics.
Yeah, and it was very heartfelt and fantastic. And it was... it was really upsetting, like... Well, the Avengers were all standing around and then, like, Miles was the only one standing there. Like, well, who beat the bad guy? And he was like, me, the guy holding the shield right now. And they're like, yeah, but who really did it?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, we're working really hard to kind of point out that he's not a real superhero.
Well, he's very tiny. I think that's what it comes down to. He's like a child.
He's young, is what you're saying.
But if you saw like 50 people laying on the ground and like a 12-year-old in the center of it, you'd be like, yo, that 12-year-old just killed those people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, if he was holding Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Or if it was like Power Pack.
Wow, they have rainbows on their clothes.
Mess with Rainbow, dude.
Yeah. No, I know. It's a very powerful force.
Yeah, but I thought this was like, part of me really liked this issue, and then part of me was a little like frustrated with this issue. But I liked what it was saying, like what it was dealing with it, the whole like, he's Spider-Man.
What do we think about the quote at the end from Miles' grandmother shows up and is like, hey, you're doing bad at school.
Right.
You're in trouble. And the line is, face it, T-Gray, you're about to get a big old kick in the culo.
What's great about that is that Bendis used that exact same line in the novel.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, three times.
That's it?
Three times.
Buy a copy and highlight all three and unlock the secret.
That's great. That's a fun fan, like a drinking game.
Sure.
Highlight all three and then drink while you're doing it. Great. I think it's funny that that's Mary Jane's big flirtation line with Peter Parker. Yeah. But instead for Miles, it's his grandmother saying it to him.
Miles can't win.
Miles can't win.
Miles
is dating his grandmother. Great. Let's move on and talk about The Walking Dead, number 152.
Yeah.
This is part of the United in Fear. is the current
now this title. Is this was a long time coming. I mean, anytime you just say to yourself, all right, I'm not gonna kill a bad guy, I'm just gonna put him in a giant cage and he'll stay there.
I'm glad you're not king of America.
Well, thanks.
Because you think they should have just straight up killed Negan.
Yeah, for all the shit that he did.
So
it's a zombie apocalypse out there. You can't just keep a nuke under your bed and be like, it'll be safe here.
To catch you up on what's going on, Rick is angry. That's pretty much the whole story.
Yeah. For 152 issues.
152 issues. He's angry. Actually, he started confused, and then in issue two, he was very angry. And then that's carried through the last 150. Following that, Negan was the big bad for a long time. If you're watching the TV series, I think we're going to see him pretty soon.
Jeffrey D. Morgan.
Very cool. And so they've been, Rick beat Negan, and they built this great couple of towns. They have a pretty normal life, right, except for everyone's mad at each other all the time. And then they captured Negan and kept him in a little jail cell underneath the stairs.
Which is fucked up.
Sort of like Harry Potter. Now, I don't think anyone's made that connection.
No,
right?
Definitely not.
Think about it, CBR.
you know, pitch it, you know. More parallels, though. Walking Dead characters, Harry Potter characters.
Yeah, oh, huge.
Give me
easy.
A list, at least five.
Yeah, at least
five. Listicles. I can work on that. Okay. I'll work on that. But I got one. And so Negan finally gets out in this.
Which is bullshit.
It's bullshit?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you see that coming? You just figure he'd stay in there?
Did
the
they have
time?
A moral discussion about why they didn't kill him? Just because, like, from what I know of The Walking Dead, of, like, seeing the news about the show every week, I feel like they would just kill him, right?
Right.
Like,
I think in the TV show, they would just kill him.
Okay.
The
Rick
of the TV show would just kill Negan. And this, I feel like he took a... I think the reason he didn't kill him is because Negan was like, you're going to kill me. And Rick was like, no, I'm not. Yeah. And then he did. Yeah. He just kept him under the stairs.
Which is an awful idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this series has been absolutely amazing. I mean, the ups and downs and the all over the places. The fact that this is still going on is such a testament to how well it's written. But it's very frustrating for me in this issue. I was like,
you've been stressed about that. Yeah. Keeps you up nights.
So we watch the show at home. Mm-hmm. My wife can't stand the show.
Really?
Because she's like, it's never going to end. This show is never, there's never going to be an ending to this. They're just going to keep surviving.
That's patently untrue.
Going to keep walking.
So your wife is just upset that it's not like they don't get killed and then like, oh, show's over.
Your wife should Your wife should watch movies.
She does.
they have a very finite ending.
Yeah,
yes.
She would like that a lot. Don't show her Cheers because that thing went on for so long.
Yeah.
11 seasons.
So much. Nice.
I watched it all.
But Michonne is Hermione, though.
Okay. Explain. I need at least 130 words.
Oh, I
did explanation.
I can't just say it.
And no, you gotta, at least you gotta.
What if I put
sword
two pictures?
Is the wand.
Sword is wand, okay.
What if I put two pictures next to each other?
Well, that you have to do that, and then.
And then also explain? Jesus, what a nightmare.
100, it's hard work, guys.
Carl is Mad-Eye.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
because
of the.
Yeah.
The eye.
Except instead of another eye, he just has a hole in his hand.
So he's a better Mad-Eye.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
He's more scary, sure.
We should probably move on, right?
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Guys, according to Pete, that's all the time we have for the stack. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to move on to our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's our audience question.
Yeah, lovely audience.
And for that, we're going to turn it over to me, where I come out to the audience with my wireless mic, and I ask a question. This question can be about anything at all. You're going to win some free comic books. It can be about... Walking Dead. It can be about any sort of correlation between a famous book series and one
also
of those characters.
Also going to win a poster from Mod Hero.
Let's not forget Mod Hero that sponsors our audience questions section. You get a great poster to put on your wall or in your car. You, sir. Yes, do you have a question?
Yes, hi. My name's Jason. How you guys doing?
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, good.
It's a random question, but I thought it might be fun.
Okay.
Thanks. What supervillain plan do you think was good enough to be revisited. A lot of these heroes, a lot of these villains come up with big elaborate plans. Ooh. They come this close to conquering the universe sometimes, mm-hmm. and they get defeated, but they never revisit it. Maybe another villain should revisit it. Which plan do you think was like so good that it should be revisited?
Great. So what plan that a villain failed at would another villain be like, you know what? I got a shot at this.
I really like the Baron Zemo's plan with the Thunderbolts. Ah. That first year of Thunderbolts, where he, like, we're going to effectively become the most awesome superheroes in the world, get everyone to love us, and then trick them and take over the world.
Right, that's sort of a long con.
Yeah, I like the long con idea. I mean, hey, like, to get political, I think we're seeing it happen right now with a certain... at the real Donald J. Trump. Like,
thank you for using his real name, which is his Twitter handle.
At real Donald, yeah. Yeah.
Except like, that's just Zemo running for president.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but he's like...
He's not hiding himself or anything like
that.
Well,
I think that he is hiding himself under contradictory statements that he makes that Holy he doesn't shit. Believe and that he does and that he doesn't. And then I also think there could be a crazy heel turn of like he gets... like elected, he gets elected president, dear God, and then he's like, surprise, I'm my version of a Democrat. And then the Democrats are like, we don't want you either. So,
yeah.
So maybe in art, maybe something like this, Baron Zemo runs for president.
Nice.
Although I do kind of like the idea of him up at a debate saying, like, I've got a big penis.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. Baron Zemo just
Baron Zemo
like,
saying
by
that?
The way.
You can't see my face, but trust me, other things you can't see are good.
But did the Thunderbolt sort of net out doing more good than evil?
Oh, well, which version?
I don't know.
Like overall?
Yeah. The one that was Baron Zemo, but later.
Yeah, well,
they...
that was like the first 70 issues led by Hawkeye. I think they mean like they just was became
it, hasn't,
a...
Hasn't the Thunderbolts the last couple of years been more like the Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Well, it went away. It's away right now.
Well, the Warren Ellis version was like they're all insane sociopaths, psychopaths.
Yeah.
And then there's Charles
Soule. The Jeff Parker version, which is my favorite version.
Yeah.
Ah, I love that.
And now, very topical, we have Baron Zemo back in the new
standoff.
The Marvel crossover that no one is talking about. And what other plan? What other plan would you like to see a villain...
I got one, actually.
Okay.
This kind of goes back a bit, but the Emperor Doom graphic novel, where he kind of distills the Purple Man and takes over the world by kind of using the hair of the Purple Man, and really just kind of gives up because he gets bored.
Right.
Like, that was great to me. Like, just keep going, man. Like, find like go hunting or
he
something.
He just needed a hype man to really push him through the hard part.
Figure out, like, video games. That's your hobby. Like, that should be enough to keep you excited. But like, I don't understand. Like, the Purple Man, and even, you know, in comics now, like, why is he not taking over the world? Maybe he doesn't want to.
Purple Man, yeah, I know. He's sort of too powerful.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, his kids caused some trouble. Daredevil.
Yeah. That was a very good arc. Pete, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I always feel like... I'm always surprised that, like, it's not always, like, oh, I'm just going to kill them when they're a baby. You know what I mean? Like, I'll get, like, the Infinity Gauntlet or something and time travel back to when this hero is just a helpless little kid and murder them. And then I don't have to worry about them anymore.
So I think some villains maybe don't have a stomach for murdering babies.
Really?
Oh, which ones?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess most of them. I mean,
I don't know. If Carnage had time travel.
Yeah, Carnage, maybe he would do that. But do you think Dr. Doom would roll up to, like, baby Reed Richards and be like, I'm going to crush you?
Well, you know, he wouldn't because he has a time platform. He would do it.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
Like,
he could.
Of all the supervillains, he's the one that has the time travel capability.
Yeah.
And he's probably like... No, like baby beneath Doom. No. Like,
yeah. I must defeat at least a teenaged Reed Richards. Baby is too easy for Doom. That's probably accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, gathering together the Infinity Gems, while an annoying task, you know, that's a long couple weeks of like research and like finding it in between Pip the Troll's feet, toes, or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's a good plan. It's the most
but
powerful.
It seems
thing.
Like a better like quest to me than like making costumes and like
yeah.
Like,
there should be
becoming
like
heroes for a while.
Well, but I think if you're like, well, I'm good at sewing, I'm gonna do the costume thing.
It should be like the Marvel Universe version of a reality show, like another season of this season. This supervillain's gonna find the Infinity Gems.
Yeah,
because we saw like Thanos did it, then we saw the Hood did it, and now who's the next Infinity Gauntlet wielder?
I mean, it's very episodic.
Yeah,
they're going after the Time Gem. Good luck.
Hell yeah,
they have to. Yeah. I know we are. They have to make the best Caesar salad to win the reality jam. All right, great. You're still going to get some free comics. Does anyone else have a question? You, sir? Oh, great. You have a question. Great.
If your favorite... I asked this before, but it died. There was a distraction. I'm a big fan.
So this is already a second-tier question.
Yeah. No. Here's the question. You guys seem like you'll have fun with it. If your favorite character finally gets killed, which villain do you think deserves to be standing over that dead body?
Ooh. That's a good question, because there's nothing worse than when your favorite character gets killed by just some Bush League... Like
Doc and his Wolverine son. That's legit cool.
No, he's too fucking new for that kind of fucking mantle.
That's what traps they're standing over Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if your last words are like, oh man, who got me? Paste Pot Pete.
Stilt Man.
I'm drowning in paste.
Stilt Man did it.
Yeah. If spoilers are to be believed, I'm going to be experiencing this in Civil War 2 if She-Hulk bites it. From the bleeding cool rumors about that, and I don't know who's
She-Hulk is your favorite.
I mean, if we're going like non X-Men, She-Hulk is my favorite. My favorite character is probably Rogue, and I would say like with that, Mystique would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Not so much that I think Mystique could kill Rogue, but the storyline of like foster mother kills daughter. That's just what is that? Yeah, like, what's the thinking there,
dude? It's gonna be like Frogman.
No, that kills Rogue or She-Hulk?
Either.
No, not Frogman.
Neil, what do you think?
Oh, man, I really haven't given a lot of thought to this one.
That's all right. So, it was just asked.
Yeah.
It just asked very recently.
So I kind of had it, actually, because my favorite comic book character was the Ted Kord Blue Beetle.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of a perfect... I mean, it was kind of shocking at the time, but having, like, Max Lord above him,
that was kind of cool.
I really liked that. Cool. I don't think... And I think it was also kind of like sort of circular because they started off with the Justice League and they kind of finished up. I don't know who else I wouldn't want to see above him like when they did
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Maybe like another Batman villain. Like that would have been kind of weird.
If
like the Riddler was kind of the one that did it or something.
Killed
like that.
Ted Kord?
Yeah.
Yeah, like just because it's too random? Like the Riddler just showed up and was like, bang.
Yeah, I think it would have
they don't even know each other.
It would have to be somebody who kind of makes sense.
Because it is like you really want it to have a history. Like, what if just like a random villain rolls up? It's like, yeah, I fucking killed
like Doc and Wolverine, right?
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's interesting.
Now, speaking of Wolverine, though, I thought like his last death was very earned, just because it was like at one point he was standing on an island of just dead enemies, and it was like so badass. I was like, okay. You really did a great job of like having him have like that battle to end all battles, you know?
Yeah.
Where I felt like that was very earned. But at the same time, like I feel like sometimes, you know, like heroes and villains get so attached that like it would be fun to see like, because I feel like Doom is such a badass, he could take on other bigger characters.
You like want a wife swap, but except
Axe of Vengeance swap, right?
Something. Yeah, nice. That's very good.
Yeah, where I feel like if Doom killed a major character, at least it's like, oh, well, it's fucking Doom. Like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
But isn't it better if it's like a Stiltman? Where it's like, oh, man, fucking Stiltman stepped up. Like, that's great.
Well, I guess it's cool if Stiltman then continues to step it up for the next 30 years. A lot of times it's like, D-list villain kills someone, and they're that writer's pet favorite. Like, yeah, Stiltman's my guy. He's awesome. Then he leaves, and Stiltman's back to being a joke again.
Yeah exactly. I feel like everyone has their place, and rarely do characters fully break out of being great or shitty.
Didn't like Green Goblin became Green Goblin because he killed Gwen Stacy, right? Yeah, Norman Osborn before then, I assume, was more of just like another guy in his rogues gallery.
Yeah.
And then you like kill his girlfriend. Yeah. Holy, well then now Green Goblin Norman Osborn is one of the baddest mofos around.
Yeah.
That also makes me think of like Mysterio also had a lot of great kind of like plots that really, I was like, holy shit, that could have gone either way.
I hate Mysterio. Everyone likes Mysterio, especially Old Man Logan Mysterio. Like, I feel like that's a thing where Mysterio kills Old Man Logan's family. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Spider-Man is just like, this isn't real. Mysterio's like, you got me. Yeah. I like illusions.
I'm a special effects
Spider-Man
artist.
Off to jail. Why is my mask a fishbowl? I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. He makes the least sense out of so many of Spider-Man's villains.
I don't know, man. I thought he had some really funny.
And it'll tell you what, his name, it's just Mysterious.
No, it's Mysterio.
Huh? I know it's Mysterio, but that's what he means.
It's Mysterious minus the us.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, God. I think Punisher should be killed by a human gun that comes to life. And it's like, hey, man. I'm
Megatron?
Sick.
Megatron.
Yeah. You want Megatron to kill him?
That sounds like a great comic.
Yeah, guys, I think we have time for one more question. You, sir, in the back. We have a question.
So... if any comic book character were to actually go on the Moth podcast and do a storytelling show, who would actually be good at that?
Great question.
Yeah.
Who? What hero or villain would crush at an NPR-based storytelling podcast?
Squirrel Girl.
Hawkeye. Yep.
I will throw out Squirrel Girl.
That's Hawkeye very would good. Do it like the latest like Pizza Dog kind of version where he was more Brooklyn-y, kind of indie Hawkeye.
Like a mumblecore,
yeah, that's good.
But I think like Squirrel Girl basically kind of narrates her own ongoing series right now. And I think that Doreen Green's way with words is very entertaining to read.
Oh, nice! Wow, that's a also,
Madrox. Madrox is his own panel.
Yes.
Oh, so he would vote for himself?
Sure.
Yeah. Nice. I like to see Hulk get up there and really feel it.
Yeah,
you know?
like Grey Hulk, maybe?
Hulk, been thinking. The Hulk's friendships, high school friendships, falling apart. Yeah, haven't seen Rick Jones in so long.
Where is Rick Jones?
He just popped up this week in a comic.
What?
He was in Standoff.
He's a bomb. He's a bomb, right?
He's not anymore.
Okay, thank God.
According to this, starting this past Wednesday, okay. It's a throwaway line where he's like, "Oh yeah, I stopped being a bomb," and then they show a picture of him. And everyone's like, "Oh yeah, he was that thing."
I think Rick Jones has like so much potential for
yes.
a character. Rick Jones is like the Robert Langdon of the Marvel Universe.
I love Rick Jones.
Who's Robert Langdon?
Like the Da Vinci Code, Tom Hanks.
Oh, nice, nice, great, great.
He's led a life.
Let me see if I... Oh, yeah. Rick, this is a spoiler for a comic that I think almost no one's reading, so I don't mind saying it. Rick Jones is the Whisperer.
Yeah. I need to read this then.
But this is great. Funny. Yeah, funny that. Turns out after I was cured of being A-bomb, no context given, then they explain what A-bomb is. Big gamma irradiated Hulk meets abomination thing Rick used to be for a while. My brain experienced some weird side effects. Like, for a little while, I was able to pick up new skills lightning fast. And that's why he is good at the internet now. Not a joke. That's what happened.
On board. Wow. See, I like... This is maybe controversial. I like continuity like that.
Where like, they just throw... You bring that's him, a classic Marvel.
Where you, like, where you bring him back, and you're like, well, I don't want him to be A-bomb anymore, but I also don't want to do like a whole story where he's not... like, so just throw it away.
Yes.
If someone else will pick it up later, maybe, maybe not. But it's still explained.
But that goes back to what we were talking about, where all these characters just have to go back to their roles no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they push him so far.
Everything's got to reset.
Like, no, he's just a regular sidekick.
The worst thing, though, is when you're like pitching a story and you're like, okay, well, I want to do a Rick Jones story, so I'm going to go and do my research on Rick Jones. And you kind of, okay, he's A-bomb now. How am I going to craft a story with him being A-bomb? But I'm going to take him away from A-bomb. And then this shows up and you're like, I didn't even see that. How am I going to fit this in now? And it just kind of ruins everything.
Yeah. Because you had like a 20-part A-bomb series that you've been pitching for years.
You've been pitching up for so long.
Oh, man. It's my white whale.
Also,
my blue whale,
Groot
actually.
Groot would kill.
Groot would kill?
Yeah, he would kill at the moth.
At the moth, yeah.
Yeah.
Very emotive.
You would just like stand there for the whole 4 minutes, and just when they're like, okay, one more minute, he just goes, I am Groot. And the whole place fucking goes
just erupts. Yeah. That's great. That's it for your audience questions. Now we're going to turn it over to a little section we like to call the Week in Geek.
Lot to cover.
Lot to cover as usual because we are being bombarded with content. We're living in a golden age of the comic book medium. First story, J.K. Simmons. This just happened, I think, yesterday. J.K. Simmons cast as Commissioner Gordon in Batman v Superman. How many more reveals of characters can they have in this?
It's for Justice League Part 1, actually.
Oh, it's not for Batman? Yeah, he's not going to show up at all?
Yeah, it's for Justice League.
Which makes it it's even weirder. Yeah. Why is he in Justice League?
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Where does this guy...
Because everyone is in Justice League, apparently.
He's just so hot right now, they'll put him anywhere.
Who? Yeah, like Gordon or J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons. They're like, oh, we can get this guy.
Let's put him anywhere.
We can get him in there, right? Just a couple minutes, why not?
It's great casting.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
I feel like it's weird to jump the line of him playing Commissioner Gordon having played J.K. Jameson.
I mean, the only, like, I am upset if this means he cannot play J. Jonah Jameson.
Well, I don't think he can. I mean, he can't.
Which is like,
why would they put him take that away from him now?
Yes.
What?
They don't want to cast him in both and big franchises.
We saw what happened with James Marsden.
Yeah, exactly. Marsden ruined his budding career.
Yeah. He took Superman Returns, like, well, we're going to write you out of X-Men.
But did it stop Chris Evans, though?
Well, that was for both Marvel, but they were Fox and Marvel.
Right.
But also, like, the Fantastic Four franchise was DEAD.
Yeah, and nothing stops Chris Evans.
No.
That's true.
That smile.
So
I feel like he's strong enough. He can do both.
He's strong enough?
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons is strong enough.
Yep.
Okay, great. I don't.
I would, however, love to see him play the same character in both. So the J. Jonah Jameson character, but as Gordon,
like a fast talking,
like angry Gordon.
Batman is a menace.
As long as he has a mustache, give us more. That's all I care about.
Yeah, exactly. It's all mustache acting. Let's move on and talk about Walking Dead, the episode that just aired this week. Have you guys been watching The Walking Dead? Obviously, you are with your wife, even though she hates it. You force her to watch it. You don't watch it.
No.
Really?
Firmly no.
Why?
I don't like it.
Really?
Because it never ends?
Yes. No, okay. I don't care for horror in general.
Interesting. You don't like zombie movies.
Well, and I also stopped it. No. And also, I don't really care about zombies. And then I watched the first two seasons, and that second season is awful.
Yeah, very bad.
Like, that's bad. And I was like, I don't need to watch this anymore. And then as soon as I stopped, people were like, new showrunner, season three is really entertaining. I was like, I don't need it in my life. I had other ways to spend an hour.
It's very good.
What if they cast J.K. Simmons in it, though?
Well, then I might check in. I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is pretty close for me. He's great.
I know. Plus, there's so much. I mean, obviously, you know, She-Hulk's a character. Squirrel Girl all appear throughout the whole Walking Dead.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Is it also an X-Men spinoff?
So in this past episode, we have Rick and company making a very aggressive attack.
Yeah.
Negan's satellite base, I guess. When they cut back after commercial and it was like a picture, I thought it was a commercial for AT&T or something. And I was like, oh, no, it's not, because there's a bunch of people.
Wait, you mean like satellite as in like a remote location and not orbiting the Earth?
No, like a giant satellite dish.
There's a satellite. Oh, it's like a brick build, cinder block building with a huge satellite.
Not like, not like Justice League Watchtower.
No, you gotta watch Walking Dead. They're in fucking space now, man.
Space zombies,
they built
bro.
A rocket.
Well, why is there
space zombies? It's the worst, because you're like sitting there in space and then a zombie just floats by and starts eating you. It's awful.
The rocket is powered by Rick's angst. Yeah. It's very fast. The speed of
that's like Carl lost the eye.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you this. Like, I find this, because I've read the comics, now watching the TV show is so stressful, because you're like, how the fuck are they going to do this, and who's going to die, and like, it's... I wish I didn't read the comics, because I could just watch it.
But they don't actually. It's not like a one-to-one map, though, because like I've read up to issue 100 of Walking Dead, so I know when a certain character dies at the wood of a baseball bat.
Right.
But then earlier this season, when that character disappeared for a while, I was like, "He's dead." I'm like, "Well, he didn't die that way in the comics."
Right.
So
right.
like they don't. It's not
they
all.
They do deviate.
But yeah. they do. But and then they don't. Like sometimes it's almost like panel for panel, frame for frame.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So it's like
they're messing with you.
Yeah. Well, it's fucking nerve wracking.
They're messing with Pete LePage specifically. Yeah. Well, and this past run of episodes has been like straight out of the comics. Jeez. I mean, we've got. Yeah. A lot of stuff happening. The only thing that's different is that Harry and Hermione got together a couple episodes ago.
So can we talk? Are you?
Wait. So Rick is Harry? Wait. No. Negan's Harry.
Oh, Negan's Harry.
Wait,
right.
Hold on.
Oh, shit. I blew, ruined blew it. My own logic.
There goes your CBR pitch.
Oh, that's perfect. That means that. that means that Rick is Ron. No wonder he's so mad.
Oh,
he's a shitty character. he's like the worst Harry Potter.
All
character.
I know is that the governor was serious. That's all I'm going to say there.
Yeah. See, you're on. But everyone's on board with this. I'm going to write this 1,000-word piece.
It could be 500, 600. Don't sweat it.
You
know? We'll cut it down.
I hate to interrupt your fucking pitch, but can we get back to the show?
Hey, I'm just trying to make those dollars.
Yeah, well, do it on your own time.
Okay, so great. It's actually funny that you bring up the one-for-one, because we were actually talking at work today about the fact that because of the whole thing that happened with that character earlier on, yeah. is that... because of that, they might change what actually happens.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, will they change it, or was that the test? Like, hey guys, get ready. Your character you're going to like is going to die. We're going to almost take him away from you, so you're more emotionally ready.
People flipped out. People flipped out.
Oh yeah,
So he's probably safe.
Here's the thing.
No.
Here's a theory I've been. Maybe Daryl is the Glenn.
Fuck you!
They're going to kill Daryl.
No!
And I'll tell you what, because they're making Jesus cool. Jesus is the new Daryl.
All right, whatever, but...
I've seen that bumper sticker, I think.
Yeah. Wait, hold on, but Daryl's not in the comic books yet, is he?
No.
So they kill him on the show, bring him into the comics.
Ooh.
What if they do that? Is that a good trade-off?
And then he becomes the Glenn. It's a perfect one-to-one switch.
Oh, man.
It's one-to-one the opposite way. Yes. Holy shit, exactly.
But don't you find
so I need a list of comparing who the Walking Dead TV show characters are counterparts in the comics.
Yeah,
so Glenn is Daryl.
I think Carl is the Michonne.
Okay.
they're mostly the
Nobody same. Nobody talks shit about Michonne. She's an unbelievable
girl. Also a great screenwriter or playwright.
Yes.
Jedi Guerrera.
Michonne or the actor?
The actor.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw her on the Colbert show, and she was great.
Yeah. I was going to say, wait, Michonne, what issue is Michonne just working on a play?
Wouldn't that be... See, I would read that Walking Dead issue.
The nights are long.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The Bleeding Sword by Michonne.
Aren't you stressed out with, like, how they're going to do it? And because you know it's coming, and this whole episode was like, holy shit, what if they get captured? Who's going to die? How are they going to do it? Nothing of that going on with you at all?
No, I thought this episode was like watching an 80s movie. It was like just like
a cookies?
No. What 80s movie is cookie based?
I don't know. Well, I'm trying to figure out why you would say that.
Because the whole second half was just a gun battle raid. It was like a scene out of some like war.
Miami
like
Connection?
Yeah, some like... hastily made drug-based 80s movie.
Is that a compliment or a negative?
I actually enjoyed it. Like, okay. It wasn't a bad episode, but I was like, this is just straight up a gunfight that could be anybody doing this.
Right.
The fact that it was... And then, like, there were thousands of bullets were shot out of those guns.
Yep.
No one on our team died.
Don't bullets attract zombies? Like gunfire?
I don't think it's like the it's the noise.
But they the noise.
Not the smell or the...
Before they raided, they kind of de-zombied the area.
Okay. With the spray, right? From
the
satellite?
No, they made noise.
The satellite is huge.
They called the guy.
They made noise to bring them out and then kind of stabbed them all before they went to the main area, which I thought was smart.
That's very
smart. Johnny Depp's head.
Great strategy.
Johnny
Depp's head is in the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Had to write that. had to write that article.
For a man that doesn't watch a show.
I know a lot about it. I'm up to date on everything.
Finally, Pete, just wanted to say, isn't it cool how Punisher's wearing a t-shirt in the Daredevil trailer?
Yeah!
Or photo, sorry, set photo.
It's fucking sick. Yeah, he's actually wearing a shirt.
He's wearing a shirt!
It was like a vest, like a bulletproof vest with like
Yeah,
it's a great choice for him.
I'm excited for it and nervous.
Yeah.
Shocker.
You are excited and nervous for almost everything in your life.
Yep, that's a good way to describe
it. It's going to be great. That's a great casting.
Yeah.
As a person who also like doesn't like Punisher, excited for him in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
As I was saying, like, Daredevil's my guy. I love Daredevil. And so I think that, like, Buffy comparison, like, Punisher is the Faith to Daredevil's Buffy.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
They both are...
I bet no one else is saying that but you.
Well, hey, I tweeted it. It got some love on Twitter, so, you know.
Oh, people be faving.
People be faving. And people be RTing.
People be RTing. People be faving.
But I like the moral quandary that Punisher presents to Daredevil. Yeah. Like, that's fascinating. And I think the acting, like, the writing... The actor, John Bernthal, is going to be great.
I know.
I'm personally more excited about Elektra because holy crap, that looks awesome and very scary and great. That's me.
guys, that's all the time we have for the Week of Geek. Let's turn over to...
I mean, we're not going to... Zelda's not here. We can talk about Arrow.
I said that's all the time we have.
Come on,
for the Week
fucking
in Geek.
Asshole. You're going to keep this bit going? Even
it's not a bit. We don't have time for Arrow, just like everyone else in America. Let's move on. Let's move on to the section that stars Mr. Pete LePage. That's trivia.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Whoever would like a chance to win $25 free, simple raising of the hand. Yes, you first hand up, guy. Come on down.
All right.
I'll let you hold on to the card. We're going to need a microphone. Sir, what is your name?
Jay.
Jay, audience. Audience Jay.
Woo! Yeah.
All right, so how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, list all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, win $25. All right? So, since Scalped, the pilot, was greenlit by WGN, which I'm very excited about, that's what the trivia is on today. So, as long as you know your Scalped trivia, you're fine. All right, so question number one. Scalped originally began as a prospective relaunch of blank. Was it A, Scalp Hunter, B, Scalp Nation, or C, Scallop Potatoes? So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct. Nice job. All right, question number two. Jason Aaron, the amazing writer of Scalped, was inspired by Leonard Peltier. A blank. Was he A, an FBI agent, B, a Native American activist, or C, a couch potato? So he's either A or he's B. B.
I'm gonna go with B.
Yeah, that's correct. Actual guy, and he has an amazing story if you want to Google him. He was a Native American activist that was one of the inspiring factors for Scalped. Question number three, how long has the Scalped pilot been in development at WGN? Is it A, 2 years, B, 11 years, or is it C, Spuds McKenzie? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B.
A.
A is correct. $25 free. Congratulations.
Congratulations, sir. Enjoy that prize. Pete, I find it hilarious that you're like, we don't have time for Arrow, and then you get up to do trivia and you talk about a different show. Why don't you just do, I don't want to write your section.
Oh, my
God. Why don't you do trivia on Arrow?
I thought of that.
I don't know. I have a feeling it'll be coming up next week.
Yeah.
I love also that you say, like, isn't it great that WGN, a sort of local cables network, is developing
Well, I'm just happy that, you know, hopefully more people will find out about this amazing comic that was really fantastic. Bloody as shit. Really fucking over the top, but very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, that bloody as shit. Guys, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, as we all know. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they have been nice enough to
sponsor
this show.
They're also a sweet shop.
It's a sweet shop, three locations here in New York City. What are you looking forward to tomorrow, Pete? What's your pick?
I'm looking forward to Head Lopper. Number 3.
Ooh.
And also Spider-Man Deadpool.
Oh, way to throw out 2.
Yeah.
What is Head Lopper?
Head Lopper.
Is that like Cindy Lopper?
Nope.
Kind of the opposite direction. Is it her brother?
No.
Okay. What is it then?
We've talked about this on the show before.
Then please tell us.
It's about a kind of Conan the Destroyer type character, this giant goon of a guy who goes around and he cuts people's heads off.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah. Sounds like it's got a great narrative.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to The Vision number 5. This is like the best comic Marvel is putting out there. It's super creepy. The art's beautiful.
Statement.
Written by Tom King. It is so good. Also, Bunker number 15 comes out. Love that comic. That's about some people who time travel back. They find letters that were written in the future about how they destroy the world, and it's the fallout from that. Very good. Neil, what are you looking forward to?
So definitely looking forward to The Vision, really into the series.
So good.
And also the print edition of The Only Living Boy by David Gallagher and Steve Ellis.
Great.
Collection of the digital comic. David Gallagher. Which really great, coming out from Paper Cuts.
Awesome. So, yeah. Great plug. And why don't you plug some of your stuff?
Well, basically Power's coming out 2 weeks from tomorrow from McMillan Books. And also doing a digital comic called Kings and Canvas. For Monkey Brain Comics, that shows up at Comixology every month. It's basically it's a boxing fantasy story. It's kind of like Game of Thrones beats Rocky. working on that with artists Jake Allen and Frank Reynoso. So we're up to issue number 4. We're working on issue number 5 now. Hopefully it should be coming out next month.
Fantastic. Definitely check that out. Brett, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I will three-peat Vision number 5. Vision is an amazing series. Gabriel Hernandez, Walter Joy de Belair kicking ass.
So good.
And also Mighty Thor number 5. Still a great... This is like year 3 of Jason Aaron's amazing run. Yeah. Russell Dauterman, Matt Wilson still kicking more ass. Everyone's kicking ass.
Kicking some ass.
It's a great book.
It is. Plug some of your stuff.
You can follow me on Twitter at Brett White. And you can see me on CBR. I'm there every day. Comicbookresources.com.
Come by the office, you're
saying? Yeah, just come by the office, which is my apartment.
Oh, great. So, that's great.
Knock on the door. I'll be watching some MSNBC and writing about Batman versus Superman.
Wow. So you're aggravated by the news and then aggravated by the comic book news.
Yeah, I'm real stressed.
Yeah. What a nightmare we're living in. Pete, that's the show. Tell us.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, I want to quickly plug, I'm going to be putting up on Twitter, another strip of Captain Jones is going to be coming out, so I'll put that up there.
And for those who don't know, what is Captain Jones?
It is kind of Friends in Space.
Friends? Not, the TV show Friends?
Not TV shows. It's about
I would be.
Two
I think
buddies.
It's very funny if you were writing a TV show, a parody of the TV show Friends set in space.
Yeah, that would be. That sounds better.
Because I want to know what your take on Phoebe is. What is Pete's take on the character of Phoebe? Smelly Cat, written by Pete LePage. Yeah. Guys, you can follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. I have a podcast of my show called Gentrify at UCB East. It's a variety show. It's very fun. You can check that out on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. That's my personal plug. A couple we want to thank. We want to thank Neil for doing the show.
Yeah.
Thank Grant for doing the show.
Woo.
Midtown Comics for sponsoring the show. Our interns, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes. And, of course, you guys are lovely audience. We are here every Tuesday night at 7:30 at the Pit Loft here in lovely New York City. Thank you so much, guys. Good night.
Thank you all, Star Boothman.